I don't know why no kids ever want to come up here when I'm preaching a sermon. It's really nice. I suppose some of you didn't see that. We had a little visitor up by the altar, and it was really wonderful. It was fun. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Well, God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, this Christmas season, and ask that you would make us people who share that gift with the world and remind those around us how much you love us, so that this world might look a little bit more like the kingdom of God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. In the original manuscript of this sermon, which I wrote several days ago, I didn't just write it this morning. I know some of you have been saying I just wrote it this morning, but I was ready. There was a line that read, "Placeholder for Vikings joke to break the ice and build rapport." I guess we'll just skip it. Earlier this month, I was home alone with the kids. It was freezing outside, so they were stuck inside. Now, some of you have met my kids, and others of you have heard them around here. So you can imagine how things were going for me by breakfast. In despair, I cried out, as I usually do, to my most reliable source of aid and comfort, "Alexa! Play some Christmas music." And it worked. The music soothed the beasts, who fell into some busy play, and I was able to at least get some dishes done. One of the songs that helped restore domestic order was Frank Sinatra's version of "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." I was struck especially by this verse, which I will not sing. "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all." This Christmas season, as we talk of peace and sing of peace, I am mindful that there are indeed powerful forces in this world mocking that holy blessing. Not only mocking, but distorting and hijacking it. There are voices in this world that would tell us peace is violent and violence is peace, that truth is a lie and vice versa. There is much wickedness in this world that would have us believe darkness is light and light should terrify us. In the Christmas story read to us from the Gospel of Luke by Pastor Freeman, we heard about the shepherds living out in the fields watching over their sheep at night. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Imagine the world through their eyes. What sources of light do they know? They have the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens above them. Around them, they have fires and lamps and candles. That's about it. They lived in a much darker world than we do today. And they, the shepherds, were in its darkest corner as they worked out in the fields, far from the houses that shared at least some flickering light through a window or a doorway. And so, when an angel of the Lord appears to them in the middle of the night, that shining glory is not a comfort to them. It is a sudden horror. What darkness do we live in? How have our eyes adjusted to it? What light dazzles or even scares us today? This year, I introduced my sons to Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Of course, because I am a good and decent person, I showed them the only true and faithful interpretation of that timeless classic. The Muppets, of course. Thank you. A couple services haven't done it, and I felt very alone. As we saw the spirits of Christmases past, present, and future come and go, not to mention the Marley brothers, played by my personal favorites, the old cranks, Statler and Waldorf, my three-year-old Augie asked more than once, "Daddy, are the ghosts scary?" And I said, "No, because I wanted to sleep that night." But in reality, there is something scary about the ghosts. There is something scary about the glory that blazed around the shepherds that night. There is something scary even about a little baby born in a barn. What we know as the audience watching A Christmas Carol is that the ghosts are there for Scrooge's good. There is not a haunting going on. This is a benevolent, divine intervention. They're not there ultimately just to scare him, but to scare him straight, so to speak, to change him for the better. And this transformation in the story is so complete, so radical, that it really is like a death for the old Scrooge, the previous Scrooge. And so it makes sense that that earlier version of Scrooge would be scared. He's about to be destroyed. All the values and principles he's acquired over his life that have defined him are going to be revealed as utter foolishness. All the comforts he's built around himself to protect himself from this world are going to be torn away, and he is going to be laid bare and open and vulnerable on Christmas morning. That is scary. The shepherds, too, in an instant realized that a new world had come and the old world was passing away. But their terror is short-lived, because what were the angels' first words to them? Not an introduction, not a declaration, nothing about Jesus even, not yet. First, the angels tell them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born on this day a Savior." The birth of Jesus is good news. It is a great joy. It is also a point of departure. From the moment he was born, this world was changed. Transformed so radically that it is as if the old world has died. God now lives among us. That is terrifying. But because our God is good, it's also wonderful. Our world, so accustomed to hopelessness, is still to this day dazzled by the birth of true hope. This world, so accustomed to death, is still dazzled by the word of life born in human form. Accustomed to fear and hate, we are still dazzled by faith and love. And while the darkness will always be with us, trying to trick our eyes, the light that was born into this world in a barn in Bethlehem will never leave us, will never be overcome, will never be extinguished. It will never stop making our world, your world, new, morning by morning, until at last, as Frank Sinatra sang out in the final verse, as I scrubbed the final pan, "The bells ring out more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does Christ sleep. The wrong shall fail, right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to all." Amen.